down to the book of Hebrews. It was written early. It has a reference to Timothy getting out of prison, and he would be shortly with the author, and they would come travel to the recipients. So it was written early in the time of Timothy. The temple was still in operation. That means before AD 70, when the Romans destroyed the temple. One of the things about the book of Hebrews is don't go back. And that would make sense if the temple is still in operation. That's another evidence of an early date. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. Don't go back to the temple worship. If it's a time during the Roman-Israel war, the Romans attacked Israel AD 66. They destroyed the temple about AD 70. The remaining armies went up on the cliff to Masada, and Masada fell in 73. Made an old movie about it, Peter O'Toole, if you ever want to watch Masada movie. Don't go back. So that gives a very early date for the book before the temple fell. The Eastern Orthodox Church accepted it right away, and it was written to an area of the Eastern Orthodox Church, which at New Testament times was Israel and Turkey. So the Western Church has its doubts. One of the reasons they were slow is they want to know who wrote the book. They did see that there are Paul topics in the book. We have the Bible as like a sword. Milk and meat of the word. Run the race. Those are all Paul topics. The topics are like Paul, but the words are very different. Many of them are medical words, and that would fit the idea that Dr. Luke was its author. It's not known, but there is more evidence than a lot of people think. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword. A two-edged sword is best a surgeon's scalpel. And when I went to United yesterday, I watched them cutting the meat, and that was a one-edged sword to cut the meat. Two-edged sword is often thought to be a surgeon's scalpel, and cutting of the joints and marrow, which kind of fits like a doctor talking. And it talks in the running the race in Hebrews 12 about dislocation of the leg. That's a medical term used by other ancient doctors. Here are some more Greek words in the book of Hebrews. Paraluo, paralyzed. Ortho, steron. And although it's odd to us, troph means eating and atrophy means not eating. A particular word for healing is not the one used elsewhere very often, never used in Paul's letters. But the Hebrews 12:13 word for healing is used 17 times in Luke's writings of the Gospel of Luke and Acts. So some evidence that Paul's topics, but Luke was probably the author, not 100% certain, but more evidence than most of the time is thought. Hebrews is teaching, don't go back. Don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to the temple. Often, in order to do that, we have the phrases better than. The first part of today's study will be the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. In other words, we know more. And Jesus is better than angels. So better than, don't go back. It'd be one thing to support a country in battle, but don't join its religion. That would be like now being in favor of Israel in battle, but not going back to Judaism. Turn with me to the first chapter of Hebrews, and we will begin verse 1 and the first phrase of verse 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. God did talk in the Old Testament. It was true. He spoke in a dual message. He spoke through the prophets, but he also spoke by the Holy Spirit. There are going to be a lot of dual authorship verses in the book of Hebrews, and we'll point them out as we go through it. They're also in Matthew and Acts. Here is just one for an example. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Just as the Holy Spirit says, then it quotes the book of Psalms. The Holy Spirit wrote the book of Psalms, and the human author wrote the book of Psalms. Dual authorship. The Old Testament is God's word, but Jesus' teaching is better in the sense that it was more complete, more truth. Both Old Testament and New Testament are true in these verses, but the New Testament with Jesus' teaching is better than because it's more complete. And then the point will be, don't go back. We are not under the law of Moses. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Romans 10:7. For Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. And over again in Galatians and Romans, the Lord Jesus Christ's teaching is more complete than the law. The law is correct if used lawfully, 1 Timothy 1:17. Rightly dividing the word of truth, here's the law. Did it carry over or did it not carry over into the New Testament? A lot of the morals carry over, but the worship system did not carry over. So we have a Son of God is superior, better than, and the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. God spoke long ago in the Old Testament, but God spoke more in the New Testament. Second teaching is Jesus is God's Son. We're going to have a lot of references, even in chapter 1, of Jesus being God's Son. I'll read a few of them in a minute, but first I'd like to look at, why does verse 2 say that it was the last days, even when the book of Hebrews was being written? Why is that the last days? You're talking probably about the AD 60s, and here we are in 2026. So how can the book of Hebrews be viewed as written in the last days? Well, it was the last days for any Bible books. It was on the last days for any revelation to all of God's people through the apostles and prophets. So it was the last days in the sense of the last times that any books of the Bible could ever be added. Revelation 22:18 has the last page in my Bible. It says, I testify to everyone who hears the words and the message of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. No more Bible books. It was the last days in terms of anything more added to the Bible. both here in Hebrews 1:2 and then the last page, Revelation 22:18. There was no Bible revelation in the Quran. There was no God's revelation in the Book of Mormon. It was already the last days when Hebrews were being written, not the last days of the church age or the last days of time, but the last days of revelation to the apostles, all over with. Going to be also quite a few assertions that Jesus is God's son. There'll be more of them, although we won't get to them today, but verse 5 will have it, verse 8 will have it, and over and over. What we are going to do now is to look at the descriptions of Christ, partly in the verses we have read, but more in the close of verse 2 and verse 3. Here are the descriptions of Christ. 1, heir of all things. 2, maker of the world. 3, the radiance of God's glory. 4, the exact nature of God. 5, the upholder of the universe. 6, the cleanser from sin. New American Standard says purification, but the cleanser from sin. And finally, 7, at God's right hand. So these are going to be the 7 descriptions of Jesus. They're in this short introduction of the book of Hebrews. So let's go ahead and read the second part of verse 2, and it will give 2 of the descriptions. Starting in the middle of verse 2, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. He, in the first part of verse 2, spoke, that's in the past. He is the heir of all things, that's the future. And through whom he made the world, that is the past. So the book of Hebrews is going to stress the future, but it's got all of them here about the Son. It's going to stress the future in that God's Son is the heir. Heir is future. Getting the inheritance is future. And I also would like to say that stressing salvation is future. So when he will say, don't neglect salvation, it also includes, and I would say emphasizes, don't neglect your future salvation. Don't neglect being saved out of the world. Don't neglect the future when Jesus rules. So now we don't neglect salvation by trusting Jesus as Savior, but in the future, don't neglect that future salvation. Don't neglect that future inheritance. So we will be the heirs when he is the heirs, and it's going to say, don't neglect it. That will help when we get to chapter 2, that it is future salvation. Here now, in verse 2, in the past, Jesus created all things. God the Father is the creator, but it says he created all things through God the Son. We won't turn to Genesis chapter 1, but all 3 persons of the Trinity are in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's the Holy Spirit. And then God said, that's God the Father. So we have God the Holy Spirit and God the Father right there in Genesis. And here is a stress of the Son being the Creator. All 3 persons of the Godhead in creation. Hebrews, though, is stressing the Son, because it's going to stress that he is better than, don't go back. He was the creator. Beyond Hebrews 1, we have John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Well, who is this Word? In John chapter 1, say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. So the Word who became flesh is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're stressing here, all things were made by Him. John 1:3. Colossians 1:16 has the Lord Jesus Christ as the creator. For by Him all things were created. And Him in Colossians 1 is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says beyond that verse, He is the head of the church, and that all the fullness dwells in Him bodily. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Son gives God's fullness. The Son will rule everything. The Son created. He is the heir to all things. Christ's descriptions continue now in verse 3. He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made cleansing or purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And then verse 4 will actually begin the next section, better than angels. Better than Old Testament prophets. Verse 4 will get better than angels. Verse 3, He is the heir. He is the past creator. And then we get to verse 3, He is the radiance of His glory. He is the representation of His character. He upholds all things. He cleanses. He is at God's right hand. The radiance. Now, there is a Greek word for reflection. Just as in English, there is radiance and reflection. Maybe a good illustration that the two are different is the sun and the moon. The sun radiates light. The moon has no light, but it reflects it back. Here, concerning theology and concerning Jesus, He does not reflect the Father's glory. He shines it out. So He is not just an indirect reflection of God's glory. He shines out God's glory. He projects God's glory. Jesus is the projection of God on earth. To make us understand this point, He upholds all things by the word of His power. So, He is the representation. That Greek word is character. So, representation is character. Now, we talk about attributes, and that is what it means, but it actually was a craftsman hammering and making a mark, making an engraving. So what he's saying here is if you want an engraving that looks like God the Father, it is God the Son. He is the exact image. He is the exact look-alike. So that word is engraving or character. Colossians 1:15 has the word icon. If you want an icon of God the Father, you look at God the Son. That's what God looks like. He looks like exactly God the Son. They are two different persons, but in attributes and abilities and characteristics, they are identical. So they are the character in Hebrews 1. They are the icon in Colossians 1. Jesus is exactly like his Father. Colossians 2:7, the fullness of God dwells in him bodily. Over and over, he will be the Son, but also in Hebrews 1:8, it will talk about the Son and then call him God. Hebrews 1:8, but to the Son, he, God the Father, says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Son radiates the Father. The Son is the exact character. He upholds all things by the word of his power. The Greek word for uphold is pharaoh, and that wouldn't make any sense, although it's not Egyptian pharaoh. It's pharaoh like a fairy. And there are fairies in Galveston, and we had fairies in Michigan, and you would get on them, and they would take you places. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ upholds all things. He carries all things. He holds all things together. He holds the earth together. He holds the solar system together. He holds the galaxies together. He holds the universe together. There is a reference in 2 Peter 3:10 that he holds the elements. And at the very least, that means he upholds everything like here, 2 Peter 3:10, then also like here. Could be that he holds the atoms together. Don't know for sure whether he means that, but the atoms are all spinning. What if they all stopped and crashed? Negative and positives crashed. So we go on in verse 3. He made purification for sins, cleansing, cleans up sins. Now, to say he made purification of sins is on the cross. He made it available. People are not cleansed from their sins till they trust in Jesus as Savior, but he made it available. He made the cleansing available. Then it says that he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. There are a lot of co-ruling with God verses in the Bible. Colossians 3:1, he is seated at the right hand of God. We're going to have three of them in Hebrews. Here, 1:3. Coming later, 8:1, and then 12:1. 12:1 says we are running the race, and we are looking up to Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, and he has sat down at the right hand of the Father. So we have verses 1 through 3, the message, Christ is better than. That's going to be part of don't go back. Don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to the temple. Even though the Romans are coming with an army, you could support Israel, but don't go back to Judaism. Maybe the Hebrews were ex-priests. They could go back to the temple to become ex-priests. They were welcome to renounce Jesus and come back. But the book is going to say, don't go back. The Son is better than the Old Testament prophets. Verse 4 will start with the next verse. The Son is better than the angels. Don't go back. Here are the descriptions again. Heir of all things, creator of the world, the radiance of God's glory, not the reflection, the shining out of God's glory. It says that the exaltation of the Creator, he upholds the universe, he cleanses from sin, and he's the co-ruler at Christ's right hand. Christ is better than, and he's telling them, don't go back. Will the musicians please come?